And welcome to Higher Ed, KUT's podcast focusing on issues of higher education, lifelong learning, and exercising the brain. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT 90.5, Austin's NPR station, talking as always with Dr. Ed Berger, president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. Hello, Ed.
Well, hello, Jennifer, and welcome to a new year. We're in the middle of our first month.
Right. Middle of January. Change is in the air, isn't it?
So what a segue.
So we're taping this episode. We're talking actually right around inauguration time.
That's right.
So you could argue that, I mean, it's a president of the United States changing to a new one. That's change on a pretty big scale. But you're interested in talking about change in this episode anyway.
Yeah, I think in a previous episode, we were kind of coming back to this topic, which, of course, is the quintessential topic of education. And as you might remember, Jennifer, you know, I wrote with Mike Starbird this book called The Five Elements of Effective Thinking. And I think that in our very first season, which seems like 100 years ago now, we actually went through those five elements. And I'll just remind our listeners very quickly, this idea of deep understanding, that understanding is not a yes or no proposition, failing effectively. So when something bad happens, don't let it go until we've learned something from it. The art of creating questions to be an active participant in life, and then appreciating the flow of ideas. And all of those four things lead to what we call the quintessential element, which is change. What's interesting is that, you know, now that I've been teaching this class at Southwestern for a couple of years called Effective Thinking and Creative Puzzle Solving, I realize that in some sense, that chapter on change in our book really needs to kind of follow each of those four other things. I mean, I see the work that we're doing a little differently. In fact, you know, Princeton University Press, who published it, you know, they're interested in having a second edition. And one of the things that I'm thinking about is understand deeply. And after that discussion and reflection, you bring in change. Like, this is how you change. The way you change is understand deeply, ask questions, fail, see the flow of ideas. And each and every one of them lead to that kind of change.
I think for a lot of people in any venue, not necessarily education, we kind of do it out of order. Maybe we implement a change or we do something without going through the other steps.
Well, that's interesting. You know, I had never thought about that before, but you're right, because when you suggest change to people, it's very scary.
Oh, yeah. People often do not like change.
But in some sense, what I'm hearing from you, which I'd never thought of before, so thank you. I think I might steal this, by the way. What I'm hearing from you is that the reason why change might be scary is because people are thinking they just have to change right now rather than evolve. In fact, maybe it shouldn't be change. It should be evolve, that it is still yourself. I'm not suggesting that people, when I say, you know, point of education is to change lives, I'm not suggesting that we reprogram their DNA and turn them into people they're not. I'm suggesting that individuals are inspired to flourish and become their very best self. But to become your best self, that means that you will have to change from wherever you are now and be greater. And there's always this extra step to be even greater than you currently are. And that's part of lifelong learning. So it's interesting. I think that's an interesting point, that people might think that they just need to change and they don't know how to do that.
Well, and if they try to do it absent any of those other elements, like thinking deeply about something, going a little deeper on a topic, letting ideas flow. I mean, if they try to just, you know, it's not unlike, you know, talking about maybe a New Year's resolution. I'm going to run 3 miles every day. Well, right. What? Like, where did that come from? That's a right. Huge change. So back up a few steps and start thinking about how can I work up to and implement what's going to be a big change.
Well, and you're bringing up another wonderful point that I really hope our listeners will embrace, which is that change should be ongoing and incremental. So it's not as if you go from being a person who hates math to someone who all of a sudden loves math, is now working on a thesis, a PhD thesis. That's kind of silly change. We're talking about ever gradual, ever growing process. And so you're right. If you haven't, you know, gotten off your couch in a couple years and all of a sudden you say, I want to run a 5 or 10K run, you will hurt yourself physically. And similarly, you can hurt yourself intellectually or emotionally if you make that kind of dramatic change. You want to do these things gradually. So first, you know, get off the couch and walk to the mailbox. then see if you can do it faster, and then see if you can go around the block, and then work your way up.
So are there some ways that you can point to education as being sort of a model, an example of some good ways to implement change or some ways to manage change? Are there things that happen, you know, when we incorporate those elements and change that you see in education that might work, you know, in our running lives or our family lives or in our other lives? Not that learning is divorced from all of the other parts of life.
Thank you.
But use education as a model to kind of guide us through some of this.
Well, there's good news and bad news here.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, of course.
We don't like to deal in bad news.
No, it's reality, and we've got to face it.
We'll get that out of the way first.
If we want to change. The bad news is that if you look at most institutions and most curricula, and I'm talking about K through undergraduate and even beyond, their goal, their definition of education does not have the goal of change. Their goal is to get the degree, which means get through a checklist of things which people mindlessly check off.
Get a test score.
And move on and forget it. Oh, I got through my math requirement. I got that out of the way. It's like an obstacle course. And great. Now I can forget all that and focus on the next thing. So that's the bad news. The good news is that, you know, you can see small pockets of impactful teaching and learning happening. And I'm proud to say that Southwestern University is one of those small pockets. And our faculty, many of them have actually incorporated this into their syllabus and their curriculum, where students have to produce a reflection about how they can use their thinking learned and practiced in that class regarding that subject and apply that kind of thinking to other things. That's changing them. Unfortunately, when you look at education in this country overall, that's not the point. It really is the diploma.
So I'm a big fan of change and innovation. It's not always easy, but I do like it. But one thing I don't want to change is that we have a puzzler in this podcast.
It's funny you say that, because as I was preparing and thinking about, you know, future puzzles that people have sent me, I actually did wonder. I wonder if there's a point where we want to stop the puzzlers. But I think you're right. People always say they enjoy the puzzlers.
Yeah.
I think they don't really enjoy my banter, but they just kind of, they're willing to tolerate it for the puzzler.
Well, and it's a little bit of practicing what you're preaching also.
That's actually true.
Kind of learning and wrestling with some of this stuff. So we are actually...
We have one on the griddle.
We need to flip it now and get the solution. So remind us what our last, most recent puzzler is.
So the one that's still on the docket, but not for long, is the following. So we have a farmer who's trying to cross a river. This is, by the way, a very classic puzzler.
Yes.
And he's taking with him a rabbit, a fox, and a bunch of carrots. And just to be clear, in the math world, foxes don't like carrots.
Okay.
But rabbits do.
Right, rabbits do.
But foxes do like rabbits.
Okay.
And so they're, you know, so the fox will eat the rabbit, the rabbit will eat the carrots, and I guess the carrots will not eat anything. And so the farmer wants to take all three of these things across in a small raft, and the raft is so small that he can only bring one of them across the river at a time. And the problem, so he could either bring the rabbit with him, he could bring the carrot, bunch of carrots with him, or the fox. The problem is, if he leaves any two of them alone that tend to want to eat
we've
got a problem. So for example, if the fox and rabbit are on the side of the river without the farmer, then the fox will in fact eat the rabbit and so forth.
So I'm formulating a possibility here.
Let me say the question. Is it possible for him to take all of these things across the river without having any of them eaten?
With still having three different entities left.
Correct.
Carrots, fox, and rabbit.
Correct.
So I believe the answer is yes.
Okay.
And I believe it's yes because you don't have to just take something across the river and leave it.
Exactly. Now that is a brilliant insight.
So you could take some of these entities may have to go on multiple trips in order not to be left in the wrong combination. So you got to think outside the box a little.
Think outside the boat.
And I think, I may not quite have this part right. I think the rabbit needs to go first.
That is correct.
And then you leave the rabbit. The farmer comes back, grabs the, let's see, carrots next. But then on that return trip, brings the rabbit back, but don't leave the rabbit and the fox. Brings the fox over then with the carrots. So then you've got rabbit on one side, fox and carrots on the other, and then go back and get the rabbit for the final trip.
Brilliant. That is absolutely correct. And beautifully explained. That's it. You got it.
This is a great puzzler. It is a classic, by the way, but I also like it because it really, it's a great model for real life situations in the world where it seems like something's not going to work out. And you can think, but wait a minute, there's got to be another way to think through this, or there's got to be a solution that will work that makes some sense.
Well, it's a classic example of two steps forward, one step back. You're making progress, but you have to kind of pull back a little bit every once in a while. And that's exactly right.
Well, and that's actually a great kind of companion puzzler then for this topic, because I think another point about change that makes sense to bring up as we're ending here is that change also doesn't have to all happen 100%. You had talked about incremental change. You know, two steps forward and one step back is okay. You know, if you're in school, take a class outside your comfort zone. It may be a challenge. You know, it may not be an easy road, but hey, you're going to learn something and you may discover you like it, you know, but it's not going to be necessarily all smooth sailing all the time.
Versus taking 4 classes out of your comfort zone in one semester, which would, you know,
right.
almost be fatal, right? Exactly.
Which may not
That's
be
exactly
the wisest
right.
thing to
That's
do.
Right.
Well, Ed, thank you for helping keep us wise, and thank you for helping us keep our brain sharp. Dr. Ed Berger is president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. And by the way, if you have an idea you'd like us to discuss on a future podcast, email it to me, jstayton@kut.org. That's jstayton@kut.org. You can find out more at southwestern.edu and keep your brain busy by keeping up with the news and other episodes of Higher Ed at kut.org. We are also on iTunes. I'm Jennifer Stayton, KUT News.